to introduce to you now two fellows who have become very, very good friends of mine and very close. Jennifer and I have been attending West Lawn Gospel Chapel now down on the west side of the city for about 6 months. And I want you to know that they have accepted us with open arms, and we feel very much like part of the family there. And we also have learned a tremendous amount from them. But especially Derek and Forrest. Derek Rollerson is Eileen's husband, and Forrest Stampley are especially dear to me because they've had to put up with me, for one thing. And I knew it was kind of dangerous asking them to come here and share with you, because they probably could share some stories that I would prefer them not to share. But they really have taken me in, have taught me about the inner city, about youth ministry, more specifically, in the city. But most of all, we've just become real close friends. And I love them as brothers. So I'm just really excited to have them here this morning to share with you. Maybe I'll just mention one thing as far as an announcement, a reminder of tonight's meeting at 6 o'clock here, and George Verwer is going to be here speaking. I don't know how many of you got the missions encounter yesterday to hear George, but traveling with George for a year, I probably have heard George speak over maybe 800 times, but I was challenged as usual in hearing him yesterday. So I hope you'll all come out tonight to hear George Verwer speak also. But I'd like Derek and Forrest now to come up and take over the rest of the meeting.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. Before we start sharing a little this morning, I'd like to introduce one of the young ladies that have been in our program for a number of years. And she's going to come, first of all, and share a little of her testimony. And then Derek and I will come up and follow after that. Her name is Melanie Dunn. She'll give you a little background information about herself and how she got involved with the program.
Thank you. I'm pretty glad to be here today. When Mark asked me to do this, I was kind of nervous at first, and then I thought about it. I'm a sophomore at Triton College, and I'm taking a speech class. And so when he decided to do this, I was like, okay, this will give me practice for my speech class. So I'm really glad to be here today. Like you said, my name is Melanie John. I'm a member of West Lawn Gospel Chapel, located on the west side of Chicago, where I also grew up. And growing up as a little child on the west side of Chicago, my mother was very protective of me. She wouldn't let me, go outside as much because, we faced with gang problems or drug dealing and things like that. She didn't want me to go to a Chicago public school because, they give so much negative things about public schools in Chicago, maybe like the bad kids or maybe that the teachers didn't care. So as a result, I grew up in a Catholic grammar school on the west side of Chicago. And just like most Catholic schools, you have your religion, as they call it, as one of your subjects. And being there, I remember saying 1,001 Our Fathers and 10,001 Hail Marys, but it didn't click with me as far as what it meant when God sent his son down here on the earth to die for us and what it meant to be saved until I met Forrest and Derek. Growing up with Forrest and Derek, I met Forrest in seventh grade. And shortly after, I met Derek. And eventually, I became a Christian working with them. And they've been working with me ever since. growing up with them, I've seen most teenagers come and a lot of teenagers go, and they're pretty much out there in the world, and I was just glad that I stuck with it. Like, most of the teens I grew up with, some of the girls, they might have got pregnant out of wedlock, and one guy, he got killed, so I was really thankful to the Lord that I stuck with them through all these years to grow with them and to learn more about God. As a result of working with Derek and Forrest, I've become an assistant to Derek for Sunday school. I've also become a counselor for the first time at Circle Y Ranch, which is our Christian camp up in Michigan. And I've also become one of the staff members at our Westline Youth Network. So I'm really thankful that God has worked through me and worked through them to help me in this leadership training program that they got me in. I would just like to say that, again, that I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you gave me the opportunity to give my testimony. And I think that you ought to be proud of Mark and Jennifer Sotocliffe because they have really dedicated their time with Westline, and we really appreciate them for being with us. And that's it. Thank you.
I wasn't supposed to say anything, he wasn't supposed to say that, but I forgot to introduce some other people that are here with us, and why don't you stand up, Estelle, and Eileen, why don't you introduce your children also? Like I said, it's also good to be here, and we just thank God for the opportunity that we are finding now to have fellowship. I should say this too. I came in and went in the washroom, and as I was combing my hair, I noticed a lot of hair missing. I don't know if that's a result of us having this relationship with Mark. But, I hope this is something that is just a passing thing. I would like to say, too, that Mark has put a lot of things on our mind, and as Melanie shared, it's been a very, very good experience and relationship, and I know the Lord's going to do a lot of things as a result. I'd just like to share a few things about what is going on at West Lawn, in the Lawndale community, and you all can decide for yourselves whether this is a good thing for Mark and Jennifer to be involved in. I know there's a lot of ideas when you think about the city and the West Side. Some of those ideas are true, some aren't. But I'd like to share some things from my perspective, some little research that I've done. There's some material that has been done recently that you might be familiar with this term, at-risk youth. Some experts define at-risk youth as anyone who fit into one or more of the following categories. A, dropped out of school. B, live in dysfunctional family. C, involved in substance abuse. D, sexually active. E, lack positive relationships with significant adults. And F, break the law. Forrest and I, when we sat down and looked at this material, we started scratching our heads and said, man, just about all the kids we're working with are at-risk youth. They fit in one or more of those categories. And we consider that a lot of the kids that we're working with are pretty much good kids. There's some material that has been done recently. It was called the Sentencing Project. They did some studies about the criminal court system, and they found that almost one in four black men in the age group of 20 to 29 is either in prison, jail, on probation, or parole on any given day. And the number of young black men under the control of the criminal justice system was 609,690. which was greater than the total number of black men of all ages enrolled in college, which was only 436,000. That study was done in 1986. And then the Sun-Times did a series of articles. They published a book called The American Millstone, called it subtitled America's Permanent Underclass. This study was done about the community of Lawndale, and I was born in that neighborhood. I've attended church there all my life. Some of the statistics we found indicated that a lot of the jobs, manufacturing, service, retail jobs, had moved out of the city. The study was done in 86 also, in the 10 years prior to that. And as a result, just to show you why a lot of the kids that we're working with are from dysfunctional families. We have 50% of the people in Lawndale on welfare. 40% of the families are headed by women. 60% of the workers are unemployed. 70% of the births are illegitimate. We have three of them this year in our church. It's the first year we've had that type of situation that we're trying to deal with right now. 50% of the mothers are 21 or younger. And 25% of all the people in Lawndale are between the ages of 10 and 19. This was done back in 86 also. There's still a lot of young people. The murder rate is 5 times the national average. Sexual assault rate is 6 times. And the serious assault rate is 10 times. Now, this is in Lawndale, and I don't want to give you the wrong impression, because also in Lawndale, you have some very stable families and some fantastic things that are going on. And we like to think that we're helping to contribute to the solution. I appreciate the song that Jennifer wrote about a light in darkness. Not only dark in the city, dark wherever the enemy is doing his work. But we thank God that we have the opportunity to work with not just the children, but it's almost like a ripple effect. When you start with the youngest or the least of these, the poorest or whoever, that ripple effect will spread and affect many. If you start from the top, very often, it doesn't trickle down. We're trying to work with the young people because we're affecting whole families by working with children. Forrest is going to come up at this time and just share a little bit about some of the programs and some of the things that we're actually doing.
Yeah, like Derek said, you hear a lot of negative information a lot about concerning the city, and it's true, a lot of it, but it bothers me from time to time that you don't hear a lot of the positive that is going on, you know, which I think needs to be, from my perspective, there needs to be that balance, because when we get things out of perspective, it all looks gloom and doom, and there is a lot of gloom and doom. As a matter of fact, as I look around the world today, in general, across all over, seems to be gloom and doom everywhere we look. But if you look at another perspective, there is positive going on. God is at work, and God is at work in the city, and God is at work, I believe, in Lawndale. Now, when we started out about 4 or 5 years ago, we came up with a purpose, and I'd like to share that with you because that helps to guide us in what we're about. It said, to attempt to meet the physical, mental, social, and spiritual needs of people, especially youth, primarily in the Lawndale community through Westland Gospel Chapel. We believe that if this is done, then reconciliation to God through the Lordship of Jesus Christ and also to our fellow man, leadership development, and a biblical form of community is soon established. So we set out to do that, and we wanted to come up with a program that developed young people. If you remember, we said reconcile. A key word in all that we want to do is reconciliation, reconciling kids or adults or whoever it might be to the Lord Jesus Christ, and also reconciling them to one another. People need to learn how to relate to each other. Young folks need to learn how to relate to each other. So we felt the emphasis would basically is developing people, developing young kids, young people like Mel to be leaders. developing them to be Christ's disciples in the future. And a number of the ways we go about attempting to do that is, we thought that a lot of times, a lot of times when people think of this particular program, sometimes, especially usually in the church, as I've gotten feedback, they tend to think of it as not doing such a good job. And that's a scouts program. Because I've heard Derek has told me when we first started talking about it, that a lot of people tend to think of scouts is, you know, real secular and all that other stuff, and you can't use it. But we found out that's a program that people recognize in the city and they trust, that are not Christians. And we found out that we can add the spiritual, and that program does a lot for us and what we want to do in developing young men and women. We put the spiritual in it. We emphasize the gospel. And we emphasize all the other areas that they need to know to develop their spiritual life. And we found that it has helped us in reaching young men and women and beginning that process. Now, we don't have everything, you know, it's not completely like we want it yet, but it's starting a process in young men and women's lives and developing them to be future leaders. And that meets on Cub Scouts and Weevilos meets on Tuesday at 3:30 to around 4:30. We have another program that's on Wednesday. It's called a release time. And that's, we're right in front of a school. We have the good fortune of a grammar school right in front of the church across the street. And that school has been very open to us for a good while. So we have a program on Wednesday called Release Time. That's they release all the fourth grade class for religious instruction. That's child evangelism program that we use. We use students from Moody who come down and help us with that program, and we use that program on Wednesday. Thursday, tutoring starts at 7 o'clock and goes to around 8:30. Friday, we have a teen club, and we call that Win 5. On Saturdays, it's Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. Girl Scouts at 12 o'clock, and Boy Scouts is at 10 o'clock till 12. Now, all of these programs, we are using them to share the gospel and to develop young men and women. Some of the things goals we had set out to when we started out was we wanted to have a program that helped young people have a vision for the future, progress in education, career, spiritual awareness, and moral standards. Another one was an ability to get along with and respect others. One more. A goal was we wanted to introduce the gospel to young people, and we felt like that process would, as we introduced the gospel of Jesus Christ, it would undergird everything else that we taught them when it came to their values, when it came to if they became professionals or whatever, and leaders in the community, church, in the secular world, or wherever they went. We felt like at that time that introducing the gospel of Jesus Christ would make the difference. Now, I'm saying this because, as I said again, some of these programs, you can use them, you know, you probably could do a lot of good. But I'm finding out, and sometimes it disappoints me as I see today a lot of our professionals that are out there that you think should be good models in, you know, leading the way for young people. But they disappoint me because I see basically a continual repetition of the things that are destructive, that are destroying our society. So we are trying, with the Lord's help, to do our best to introduce kids to the Lordship of Jesus Christ after they accepted Him as Savior. So we need your prayers in remembering the young folks, their parents, and the people that are working with us, so that, like Melanie, you can find other young people who will follow along and pass on, and who will begin to set other standards out there. You know, the standard won't be gangs and all the other stuff that you've heard about, I'm sure, if you've been listening to news. We need to see a lot of young people who will decide that they want to make a difference. So we hope and we're trusting the Lord that with His help and with people like Mark who are coming in and helping us, that Jesus Christ will make a difference. And I believe He already has begun to turn some young people around. We just recently had a few young ladies who've accepted the Lord. And in the release time, we had a young man, he's 10 years old, who just accepted the Lord. Young kid. So we've had a number of young people just recently, I think just this, we had a sleepover with teenagers with some of our lady staff, and one of the young ladies accepted the Lord just this past Saturday. So God is beginning to do some work in continuing to do some work in the lives of young people that we're working with. Derek's going to come up and finish up now.
On February the 17th, we had an opportunity to do Youth Sunday, and this is what the team program. We sat a few months back, and we talked about the local church, and we asked the young people, what were some of the things that you liked, some of the things that you would like to see change? Of course, young folks, they got a lot of ideas. We do. I still consider myself in that category. But the 17th of February was the realization of what they discussed. And it was interesting that the theme they came up with was all in the family. What they were communicating was, we want the adults to understand who we are. We want them to know us. We want them to be able to see us as people. And sometimes we feel a distance. And they asked that I would be the one to share the message. And as I was preparing, and I just began to think about the body of Christ, and there's so many walls between us. That's not the way God intended it. As I began to think about it, it wasn't just an age difference. There's economics. There's skin color. There's the haves and the have-nots in terms of what the kids understand real well with the fashions, the clothes. And if you all reading the papers and looking at things that are happening, you'll find a lot of the kids take a chance on losing their life by some clothing that they wear. There are so many things that break us down. And I had fun with this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You all familiar with it? Talking about the body. I just want to read a few verses just to challenge us as it has challenged me. Because as I examined some of these walls, I found that I have a lot of these walls in my own heart that the Lord began to expose. Now, Mark has already shared that he, myself, and Forrest have had some opportunities to talk. A big part of that has been a healing in my own life for me. And even sharing that message, there were some things that the Lord was doing that week on the radio, talking to some other people, that he was saying to me. I hope these verses speak to you. I'm reading at verse 13. Says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, verse 20, are they many members? Yet, but one body. We're one body in Christ. There are so many walls that need to be dismantled. in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of turmoil and friction, and we understand this. We can say this because we are family. That needs to come down, and a lot of it is focused around this racial thing. And I believe that this is where God wants to start, with his family, with the body of Christ. And not just with Mark and Jennifer, but they are a fantastic part, I believe, of that process. But there are other groups, there are other people who are actively involved in this process. There's a young man named Paul Grant who drowned about a week ago, and at his funeral, and it was packed. I've never been in a funeral with so many people. Young man, 31. White and black embracing each other. This young brother has been around with the Ministry of Reconciliation, sharing that we need to come together. The body of Christ, that these walls, these schisms might come down. The enemy has perpetrated something that we have allowed, and it has separated us. Different is not bad. Different is different. We can enjoy each other as we share in our difference. You know, I like to think about unity. There's oneness, but there's also harmony. We tend to do things a little different. But in that expression, the difference, we can gain so much. Our challenge, we were talking about this on the way, is to share with you all. We want to invite each other to get to know each other. A lot of those walls come down as soon as we get to know each other, find out we're all people. When we get cut, we bleed. When someone close to us dies, we hurt. When we have good times in our life, we rejoice. The body is one. My challenge is, let this thing not stop here. I think God has brought the soda quiz. He's put something in their heart for a reason. Let's not take this lightly. If we can, make this some type of a partnership. We already feel a partnership with you because of their involvement with us. And I'm going to tell you, they're like family. And I found that I also know some other people here at Bethany. Just from Mark and I hearing some things, we find that we have some common experiences, and our background is very similar, even though we come from about 26, 30 miles apart, very close. And I think the Lord is doing some things. I'm going to ask Mark to come up now.